It's Kanisha here. Now, before we get started with today's podcast, I have a word of encouragement for you. If you have a creative project that you've wanted to work on or release, just do it. Sometimes it's best to just get started and figure it out along the way. For me, 2017 was about laying a foundation for my many projects, and 2018 will be about building upon that foundation. I'm excited for this podcast to glow up, as I know it will, and I'm happy to have you along for the ride. Last week, I had a conversation with my cousin Allison that I'm sure you'll enjoy. We talked about how we can better guide our loved ones in supporting us in the ways in which we will feel supported. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Allison, I was so excited to talk with you because, number one, I love listening to your voice.
Thank you.
Such a nice voice. And the Cheney accent that I wish I had. And I feel like whenever I speak with you, it's a pretty good conversation. So I'm excited for what we'll talk about today.
I'm excited too.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce the topic and the framework of Kwanzaa.
Okay, well, Kwanzaa is an African-American holiday, and I absolutely love it because for 7 days, you get to reflect on yourself and your family and also your community, and it helps you, you know, just stop to think of ways that you can make yourself better, your community better, and your family better, which is a wonderful thing. So it's celebrated the day after. It starts the day after Christmas, and then it continues until New Year's. So I look forward to it every year. This is my third time, though, but I look forward to it every year. I enjoy celebrating it with my family.
And so today, the day that we're recording, is the third day of Kwanzaa, correct? Mm-hmm. And the principle for today is what again?
We recognize Ujima. It stands for Collective Work and Responsibility.
Okay, and then there are some discussion questions. I believe the question for today was how will you support your friends and family in the coming year, and how do you want to be supported? Mm-hmm. And I really like especially the how do you want to be supported mm-hmm. part of it, because I think it's really important to reflect on what you need out of people, because mm-hmm. you need to be able to articulate that to others, because we kind of assume that people know what we need.
Yeah.
And they don't. They really don't. Because everyone's different. Everyone has different things that are important to them. Mm-hmm. And we have like this kind of false idea that what's important to me will be important to you and important to everybody else. And that is definitely not the case. And just being able to be flexible enough to say, I'm going to show you love in the way that you need to mm-hmm. receive it is, I think, a very important thing to do. Something that's not necessarily done enough.
Yeah, that's a huge problem in all types of relationships. In romantic relationships, family relationships, friendships. You know, we tend to give love and support the way we think the person would appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And then we get upset, or we feel sad, or we feel disappointed when they don't appreciate it as mm-hmm. much as we think that they should. But it's not on that person to just accept whatever you give them. You have to know what type of person you're dealing with and exactly what they need. So that is really important.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a theme for me this year is not expecting people to be something other than who they are. Mm-hmm. Because you have to kind of measure your expectations mm-hmm. when dealing with certain people, because you don't want to be holding a grudge against them for something that they can't do for you that weren't built to do for you.
So. You know what? That was my theme for this year too. It definitely was. So it's not 100% easy, but it's so worth it to do that.
So I guess getting into the question, mm-hmm. what helps you feel supported?
How would I like to be supported? My love language is quality time. So I seriously love when people spend time with me. I love when people stop to ask me how they can support me. I work, whether it's just family or it's business-wise, I really do appreciate when people stop to ask me, how can I support you? And then I will give them exactly how I would really like to be supported. So, because I know how I would like to be supported, it's just that it's not really asked.
Yeah.
So when it is asked, I already have my answer, you know? So that's how I would like to be supported, by just people asking me, because different people means different things to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you were a kid, this person was your best friend, and that person was everything you needed, you know? But as you get older, childhood is black and white, and when you're an adult, there are many shades of gray. So you might have this one friend who she's a party girl. She's just fun to be with when you want to hang out and have a good time. While you have another friend who is, let's say she's a social worker, she's a psychologist, and you just enjoy having deep conversations with her. Or where you might have another friend who's an attorney, and just you enjoy speaking politics and different things with that person. So how I would like to be supported, the answer will be different depending on who I speak to.
Yeah.
Because everyone has their different facets of you. You're not just one person. You know, sometimes people try to put you in one little space,
right.
You know, but there's so many different sides of us. So, my answer depends on who asks me the question.
I think it's really important what you said, to ask people how would they like to be supported.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes either we don't ask and we just support, or we say, I don't know what to do, and then we don't do anything.
Yes.
And I don't know if one is worse than the other or better than the other, but neither of them is support.
Yeah.
In the way that the person needs support. So I like that. I think especially when it comes to grief or death.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's difficult for me to know what to do. Because a lot of times, I don't know, I don't know that I've experienced it with someone that I talk to on a regular basis with yet. It happens within your family, like an aunt or uncle experiences loss, or a cousin that maybe you don't speak with that often, and you're like, my thought process is like, I don't want to call and have nothing to say.
Yeah.
And then my call is just a reminder of this thing that happened in their life.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's always an interesting area for me to kind of navigate.
I always think about that, because that's generally how a lot of people feel. But for me, I'm the opposite, because the last time I experienced grief, I was just, in my mind, I was thinking, that's probably what everyone was thinking, you know? So it was like, well, she might be having a good day today, and if I bring it up, she might just start crying, and then I'll ruin her day. So I'm not going to say anything at all.
Yeah.
But for me, I took it as I am being neglected.
Yeah.
This is the time where I seriously need people to be around me, and no one is around me.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how I felt, because I did have friends that kind of stayed away and didn't want to talk to me. And then after I left the room, you know, they would ask someone else that's close to me, is Allison okay? What's going on? And
yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, such and such, someone closer just passed away. Oh, I understand. Then I walk back into the room and it's silent again. Like, say something, you know?
Yeah.
So while I had another friend, she drove an hour to see me. And she came to my house, and I was sitting there on the computer and working on the front row programs. And she says, get off the computer. We're going out to eat. You need to eat something. And I'm saying, no, I'm fine. I'm all right. I need to finish this front row program. No, you know, just get out the house. Get some fresh air. Get some sunlight. Get something to eat. And we went to get something to eat. And I really appreciated that, because she seriously helped me in the way I wanted to be helped. But even if you don't know, just ask.
Yeah.
You know, because my best friend, her dad just passed away yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I called her. I said, listen, anything you want. If you want me to call you or text you, let me know. If you want space, let me know.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, just let me know. And I will try my very best to be there for you. However you want to be comforted, however you need me to help you. you know, don't leave it vague, like, hey, if you need anything, just let me know, because they'll never reach out right. to you. But, yeah, you just say, hey, if you need me to call you or text you, let me know. If you don't want to talk, let me know. If you don't want to talk, let me know. You know, if, because I don't want to keep calling. Yeah. I don't want to keep calling you and nagging you, and you're like, okay, stop calling me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to talk to anyone. So yeah, I reached out to her, and whatever you need, just let me know. Whether it's A, B, or C, just let me know, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. And that's it.
I think that's why it's really important to do some soul searching for yourself, because like you said, you know exactly how you want to be supported.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't have that clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And so all they can tell you is that's not it. And you like trial and error until you find something.
Yeah.
Or they don't tell you that's not it, and they don't take what you're doing as support.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to tell you to do better, so they don't, and then nobody's happy.
No. So, everyone's frustrated.
Yeah, I'm really big on self-reflection and learning about yourself and learning about others. I really value being able to understand other people better and being able to explain myself better to others as well. Well, I guess moving on to the other portion of the question for today, which was, how would you support your family and friends? We talked about what we would do, well, how we would want to be supported, but let's talk a little bit more about what we can do to support our families and even, like, community on a larger scale.
Yeah. A lot of things that I do at work actually helps me in my personal life. So we have something at work called a weekly plan sheet. And it's a weekly calendar, and it's empty. And we fill it in with everything we need to do for the week. Every single thing you need to do. And then you find little spaces in that time. And within that time, you can schedule work time, you can schedule family time, different things like that. So I like to schedule family time in there, where I strategically speak to a family member, get to know that person more. I had a awakening a couple of years ago with my sister, because she wanted to be supported a certain way. We went all out to support her in the way we thought she would have wanted to be supported.
Yeah.
So I was exhausted, because we were doing everything, you know, to support her, because it was an event, and we thought, okay, once we have this, we have that, we have the food, we have this, da 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 da, you know, she was performing, and so we were doing everything on our end, and we thought, yeah, we're doing this, we're doing that, because we love you and we support you. And for her, it was the slightest thing. We sat, like, after we did all this stuff and we were tired and we were burnt out and the event was gonna start, we just randomly sat anywhere. And for her, it was like, I don't care about the food, I didn't care about I didn't care about any of that stuff and all the big things that you did, I didn't care about that. I wanted you guys to sit in the front row so I can see you.
Yeah.
While I'm there. That's how I would feel supported. You know, and I sat there like, what? You know, because you don't know what someone needs, you know, and I felt really bad about it. And since then, I really took the time to get to know her, what she needed, the type of person she was, things that she was going through. And we started getting much closer. Of course, thanks to Kwanzaa, too, because we were able to, you know, ask these questions every day and get to know each other on a much deeper level. And since then, I've been supporting her in the way that she needs to be supported. There wasn't that disconnect anymore. So I strategically take time out to get to know my family members, because what my sister needs, my brother don't need it, you know? And me, I'm a totally different person, you know? So everyone needs to be supported in different ways. So I strategically take the time out to get to know everyone and see what they need. Another example, my mom, she loves classical music. So one of my friends, she's a trained soprano, professional soprano. She had a concert, a free concert. It was like an hour away. And I knew my mom would love it. So I just called her and said, hey, There's a concert this evening. You want to come with me? Want to be my date? She said, yeah, sure. You know, and I took her. And she was smiling the whole time. And she enjoyed all of it. And she kept saying, thank you so much. I love this. You know, and because I know this is what she likes. This is how she feels supported. This is how she feels loved. You know, so, I mean, my sister, if I took my sister, she'd be like, okay, you know, this, it was nice.
Yeah.
You know, she would have a good, we would have a good time together, but it wouldn't be at the level of, wow, you support me, like how my mom
right.
felt,
mm-hmm.
you know, so everyone is totally different. So take the time to get to know everyone individually, because even though we are a family and we're just one group, we're individual people with individual needs, wants, and desires. So I would totally get to know everyone.
Yeah. Those stories were like perfect, perfect representations of
mm-hmm.
how important it is to do that because,
mm-hmm.
you know, everyone just kind of wants to be understood.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
to feel like people get them and, because there's a sense of security in that,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, someone knows who I am and
yeah.
they can do things that I would appreciate and, yeah.
Yeah. Which is why I seriously love Kwanzaa, because every single day is a completely different question. And it also, I love it because this, seeing that this is our third, I think this is the third year that I've been celebrating Kwanzaa. When I look back, when I look back at my questions, the first year that I celebrated Kwanzaa, my answers, the answers, it's crazy because a year later, I achieved what I wanted to do.
Mm, yeah.
It makes you think, it makes you create goals for yourself, and it seriously makes you think about how you can do this, how you can do that, how you can get to know yourself better, how you can get to know your family better, different things like that. So my priorities in 2014 is not the same as what my priorities were in 2015. So when I hear my answer from 2014, I sound so juvenile because I've grown so much
yeah.
from 2014. And I can say, oh, yeah, wow, that's old news. And
yeah.
then I see the answer to my 2015 questions and I said, oh my gosh, wow, that was a thing. You know, I accomplished that and wow, I actually did that.
Yeah.
You know, so I love recording the answers, writing the answers down, and just keeping it in a safe place so that a year later, I can answer the question truthfully with where I am right now, but then also look back and see what I've done.
Yeah.
You know, and that helps a whole lot because there are many times I've done certain courses where you can map out your goals and put in what you want to accomplish in life. And at the time I'm writing it, I'm scared because this is a huge goal and how am I going to do this and different things like that. But then when you look back in the future and you see that, you don't even remember that you were that scared.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh my gosh, you know, wow, that's nothing to me now. But back then I was really afraid to do this, you know, like I was afraid to talk to people. I really was. And I remember that was one of my goals, to not be afraid to talk to people. And I'm so happy that I put it out there and I knew, okay, this was my fear. And I took the steps to get myself out of it because I knew I wanted, it was something that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that through Kwanzaa, I'm able to map out my goals. And I know, okay, this is what I'm working on for this year so that this year would be even better than last year. And yeah, since the first year, every year has been getting better for me. Emotionally, I've been getting much closer to my family. I've been picking out who I label as family and who I label as relatives, because it's a big difference.
Yeah,
you know, you gotta protect your heart, you gotta protect your mind, you gotta protect your spirit and your soul. So
yeah.
So with that, I've been able to seriously look at people from who they are and not from my imagination of what I think they are or what I think they should be, but I just accept people for who they are, and then I just, you know, connect to the people who are more of an asset to my life,
mm-hmm.
emotionally or in other aspects.
You talked about how you saw your answers getting a little bit deeper as
mm-hmm.
years went on.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because it definitely is like kind of like a practice of being honest with yourself.
Yes.
Because sometimes you can lie to yourself about where you are or what you mm-hmm. want. When deep down you know you're kind of like pushing it away.
You're like, I'm okay. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Be honest. I'm with happy. No, you're not.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's interesting. I also, reminded me, the episode where I talked with my sister, mm-hmm. we talked a little bit about how you can have certain relationships with people mm-hmm. that are stuck in a certain realm.
Okay.
And not for any particular reason. It's just mm-hmm. because that's what you've always done and that's what's comfortable to you. Mm-hmm. But when you grow... Mm-hmm. you might be able to move that relationship into a different realm, like talk about different things with that person.
Yeah.
And it's really important to kind of create those experiences mm-hmm. where you're able to, I guess, get out of that box with them. For me, it's kind of been my podcast because okay. I'm having conversations with people that mm-hmm. I haven't had before. Like, I just got back from Julian's house doing an interview with him mm-hmm. and he said, you know, I think this conversation that we had today for this podcast was longer than every single interaction we've had with each other, every single conversation we've had with each other put together yeah. in the span of our lifetimes.
Yes.
And that's crazy.
It is crazy.
Because it has to do with the settings in which you're interacting with people mm-hmm. and that will determine what you talk about or what you feel comfortable expressing with them. So mm-hmm. even just like being intentional in, you know, I'm going to have a conversation with this person aside from Thanksgiving, aside yeah. from, like, commotion.
Yeah.
So that I can, you know, have a different type of interaction.
Yeah, and then another thing, too, is the age difference.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of hard to see someone who you knew as a baby.
Yeah.
It's hard to have an adult conversation with them because you still subconsciously see them as a baby. And yeah. you think that there's nothing that you can talk about because when you were their age, you were young and stupid, you know? So you're thinking, okay, they're probably in the young and stupid phase. But then when you really take the time to talk to that person, you realize that things have changed and people are growing up much faster. We live in the information age where young people have access to everything. So you can seriously have a conversation with someone that's 9 years, 10 years younger than you are, and you'll be surprised how much you can learn.
Yeah.
From that person, because their experiences are not yours, and they may have experienced something that you may have never experienced, and therefore you learn from that. So that conversation that you had, that showed him you're an adult now, and you're not baby cousin, mm-hmm. you know, because when you see baby cousin, you're like, hey, baby cousin, you know, you give that person a hug and you walk away, yeah. you know, but when you do take the time to connect with that person, you realize, oh, okay, she's an adult. You yeah. know, we can connect on a different level. Like what you said, in a different realm outside of the just, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. All yeah. right, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Growing up is fun.
Is that what that is? Fun?
Huh?
Fun?
It's, the end result is fun. Mm-hmm. The end result. It is because you realize that you don't have to do everything. You don't have to do everything. You can learn from other people's experiences.
Yeah.
I never went away to college. I went to a local college that was close to home, so I returned home after class was done. And then afterwards, I went to online college, which was so hard. Because you have the convenience of being in your pajamas, they overload you with the work. Yeah. You know, traditional school, you have that one paper you gotta do by the end of the semester. Yeah, we had one paper every week. Yeah. You know, it was like 1,600 words every week. Like, oh my God, you're killing me. But, so my sister went to school. She went away to school. And in speaking to her, I learned what she went through. Because in my mind, all I know about going away to college is what I saw on TV. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's so cool. And you get your dorm room and, yeah. and there's the jocks and the cheerleaders and this, that, and the other. You know, and I learned the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, the going away, you're far away from your family, you're far away from your culture. And you meet different types of people. You feel what it's like to experience racism, classism, mm-hmm. you know, all of those different things. And then the dorm room is really small. There's no space for anything. And then you have to move every semester. And mm-hmm. and the first aspect of feeling lonely, mm-hmm. missing your family, and then learning to how to make new friends. Who do I choose as my friends, you know, and just learning to get to know yourself and experience in life apart from everything you've ever known in your life.
Yeah.
You know, traditions and different things like that. So I learned through her experience what that is like. So I don't have to do it, you know?
Yeah,
and that's the wonderful thing about communicating with people. You get to learn things from their experience. And then another thing is, if you want to accomplish something in your life, it is good to connect with someone who's already done it. So yeah. You don't have to make the same mistakes that they have made. You can save yourself a lot of time, a lot of heartache, a lot of pain. So that's why I said growing up is fun. Because the fun part is you don't have to go through the struggles of A, B, or C. You can learn through... You can take the lessons learned without having to go through the pain of the... event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you're talking about your sister's experience in college, mm-hmm. This is something that I've thought about while I was in college, but it's really interesting to me now. Like,
mm-hmm.
the differences when you're away at school and everybody, like, all your friends are also there.
Yeah.
Like, I found that being in college, I never hugged people.
Really?
Yeah. So okay. I had, like, yeah, I never, like... hugged anybody. I guess it's because you see your friends, you know you're gonna see them later, so it's not like a goodbye, it's like a see you later, okay, I'll be right back type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing, and sometimes I think about, like, when was the last time I hugged someone? And it's,
yeah.
It's like one of those things that you don't realize, like, is a thing until, yeah. like, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. That was a really horrible way of explaining it, but I think you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
But that's even something that you'd have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't hugged someone in a month.
Oh, but that's also your personal preference too. So sometimes you don't have to always convert to society's norms. You know, if that, you gotta look in to see why don't you hug anyone. Is it because ill people are icky? Ill, don't touch me, or is it deeper, like, is it just plain, like, I just don't want to hug anyone? Or
yeah. I realize that about myself. I tend to more so mirror what am I saying,
you mirror the person.
Yeah, I mirror. So I'm not gonna be the person who walks up and, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
like, unless I haven't seen you for a while.
Okay,
so that's, but, I don't know, it's just,
is it because you want everyone to feel comfortable around you? Or is it that you're afraid of what they will think of you?
I'm not a very,
outgoing.
I'm not a very outgoing person. Mm-hmm. I process a lot mm-hmm. inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not super expressive in that way. Like, I'm not bubbly
okay.
in that sense. And so it's not like if someone hugged me, I'd be like, don't hug me. But I'm also but I'm also not the person to be like, oh, I'm going to go hug everybody who's here. Like, I don't walk into a room and, like,
hug everyone. You know what? And that's normal. I learned that at work when we learn personality profiles,
mm-hmm.
because it's always important to know who's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying change yourself, but slightly mirror, you know, who you're in front of. And from what I've learned, like, I would instantly put you in a personality type that's very very conscientious, where mm-hmm. you think about every single detail about, you know, certain things.
Yeah.
So what I've learned was that everyone's personality type is special and it's needed. because we tend to say, I'm not this type of person. We see someone who's like the total opposite of us and we're like, I'm not like that. You're not supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be you. You know, I've studied four personality types. D is the decisive, direct. I is the impressive, the party person. S is the steady type, the one who's like the mom of the group. Mm-hmm. And then C is very conscientious. So the best way to describe the four personalities is we're going on a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
So D is the driver. D has to drive, you know, because this person is in charge. This person likes to lead. So that person is the one that's driving. We're going to Disney World. That's it.
Yeah.
That's me. I show up with 20 bags, you know, like, oh my gosh, let's go. I really don't really know all the details. Yeah. I really don't know what we're doing while we're there. I don't care. So I bought all my shoes, you know, and I bought everything, and I'm just
so
ready to
prepared yes, for anything.
Yeah, I'm just so ready to go, you know. And then the S has a bag with snacks for everyone, and okay, well, here you go, and I make sure you have a pen, and I make sure you had this, and I make sure you had that, just being the mom of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, calling home and are the kids okay, and make sure they take the vitamins at 2 p.m and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
that type of thing. And then the C is the one with the map. C is in the front of the car, riding shotgun with the map. And okay, we're going to make this rest stop. And then we're going to go here. And then we're going to turn left on the 75. And then this, that, and the other. So, but at the end of the day, we all need each other.
Yeah.
You know, so, and which saved me. It really did save me, because my personality, life of the party personality, it's so frowned upon. Like, it is. It's so frowned upon. Because when they see someone who's like the life of the party personality, they instantly think this person has no goals.
Mm-hmm.
This person has no direction. This person is just immature and isn't going to be anything in life. So I grew up thinking that way because that's what people said of me.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said it to me indirectly. Some people said it directly. So other people said it in other ways. They didn't exactly use those words. And I really thought something was wrong with me. I thought I was broken. Something is wrong. You need to fix me. But when I learned those personality types, and I learned that every person is needed, because, I mean, who wants to go to a boring party? You know?
Yeah.
So, for my personality type, they said if I was in charge of the whole thing, I would... it wouldn't happen. I would still be trying to bring balloons in the room, you know, because I'm like, oh, we gotta get the streamers and we gotta get the music and stuff like that, because I'm not detail oriented. The bad side of me is we lack follow through, and we're extremely extremely disorganized.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that was my flaw, and that was what and I said, oh my god, that's so me. So when I realized that was a part of me, I strategically sat and said, okay, I need to fix this. And then I got super organized to the point that it just took off. You know, I'm extremely organized. I can find notes from 4 years ago.
Wow.
You know, I can find my sales report from 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so because I knew this was what's wrong with me, I started working on that so that I can be better. The D personality, their flaw is that they're bossy and they come off as controlling.
Mm-hmm.
So people with that personality have to learn to kind of take it down a little bit, learn to listen. They are fast decision makers, like how I'm a fast decision maker. So we got to learn how to just tone it down a bit. Like for me, I got to learn mm-hmm. to tone it down a little bit and just, hey, you know, but I had to just learn to just tone it down a little bit and, you know, just fill out the room, see what the room is like. If it needs more energy, you know, give it. But if not, you don't have to always be in the spotlight. It's okay. You know, for the S personality, that person tends to neglect themselves. at all times, because mm-hmm. they want to make sure everyone else is good. And a lot of moms fall under that category. Mm-hmm. They sacrifice everything for their family and nothing for them. They have absolutely nothing going on with them. No hobbies, no nothing. It's just them. So that personality, have to learn how to take care of themselves, take some time for themselves. And with the C personality, that person have to learn to, okay, I know you're planning and it sounds really good, but it's time to put those plans into action and just kind of go for it. It's okay. And you might make a mistake. Don't kill yourself for making a mistake, you know, but you might make mistakes along the way, but it's okay. Just take the first step. You know, so that's an extremely long explanation, but but yeah, it just goes to show how you have to really get to learn who you really are, and then learn your flaws, and then work on making it better so that you can be a wonderful person. So in the end, I'm still the life of the party. I still love the spotlight, but I am extremely organized, and when I start something, I finish it. Yeah. So I feel complete and whole, and I don't listen to the naysayers anymore. Now they just, oh my God, you look, you know, they see what I'm doing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wow, I always knew you were going to make it. Like, okay. you know, like, yeah, okay. Like, I forgot what she said. But yeah, it's always good to get to know yourself and grow from it.
Another theme for me this year has been to, and I've probably said this so many times on this podcast, but figure out how to be authentically myself mm-hmm. in every situation.
Yeah.
So to me, that means, you know, there are things I need to improve, things mm-hmm. I need to work on.
Yeah.
But how can I improve those things and still be me? Yeah. You know, like there are instances in which I could probably be more outgoing, mm-hmm. but how can I do that and still be me and not, like, have a different personality, if that makes any sense, like mm-hmm. figuring out how, because I know, I mean, growing up, people have suggested that I be more like your personality type.
Yeah.
And yeah, I probably could have been more this, more that, but I need to do that in my own way.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we realize that there are many ways to do something or to improve something and have to figure out the right way for you to do it. I'm interested to know what steps you took to become more organized, because that might be different for a person with a different personality type. What do you think was, like, particularly the way that you went about it?
I committed to a system. I kept my files in one place at all times, because my mind is always racing and there's a million things going on in my head. I tend to put things off and jump to the next thing.
Yeah.
So what I started doing was I just stopped and I just started writing the next step. You know, the other thing that I want to do. Mm-hmm. I would write it down so I remember.
Instead of going to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if I don't do it now, I'm going to forget and it's going to be gone forever.
You have to address it, but you don't have to switch to it right now.
Yes. Yeah. So I wrote it. I wrote it down. Okay, this is what I need to do. And then I just put it off and I continued. I finished what I was doing in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that worked for me was at work, they taught me to have a 6 most important things list. And every night before I go to sleep, write 6 things that I'm supposed to accomplish tomorrow. Only 6. The rest can, mm-hmm. the world won't end. Only those 6 things. And focus on those 6 things. And then when you realize it, you're like, you've accomplished 30 things for the week.
Yeah.
You know, the work week, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I've started doing that. And that really helped me to get more organized. And because I knew it was an issue, and because I knew that my life depended on it and my future depended on it, that was my motivation to just do it.
Yeah.
So know the issue and just work on making it better one step at a time. I want to piggyback, like, what you said about your personality and people wishing if it was the opposite. The thing is that absolutely no one will be happy with you, no matter where you are in your life.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're quiet, you're too quiet. And then all of a sudden you're outgoing, you're too outgoing. Yeah. You know, so for you, I wouldn't ask you to try to be outgoing and just to go all the way out and be super duper expressive because people can feel the fake. They can tell.
Right.
They can tell you're being fake. So so with you is what I would do is I would figure out who I'm talking to and then start talking to them in a topic that makes them excited and makes you excited.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you have in common, that would just cause you to guys to have like a really good connection, a really good conversation. Because you pay attention to details, you know, so yeah. you can go deep into a conversation like that, you know. So don't try to be the, oh my God! No. Don't try to be that type of person because people can tell when you're being fake. And I can tell too.
Mm-hmm.
I can really tell. There's so many people that are not outgoing and they try their best to be outgoing. And it's so fake and it's so annoying. And it turns me off. Yeah. And I just walk away from them. Another thing that people say to me when they say, I wish I was as outgoing as you, I said, no, I don't wish that. Because there's so many people that need you, who yeah. you are. You know, one of my friends, she told me that she hates being so bossy and she comes off as so bossy and she wishes she was, you know, more like my personality. And I said, no, because I wish I was more like your personality because I would get things done faster.
Yeah.
But I told her, I said, no, because there are so many people that need you. And because I don't pay attention to details, I need someone like you
right.
or someone like her to lead me and give me the direction that I need mm-hmm. so that I can do it. So I told her, I said, just pray, you know, if that's your thing, just pray. You know, ask your higher power to send people your way or to put you in front of people that needs you.
Yeah.
Because I turn off some people
mm-hmm.
because I'm too much for some people. While other people, as soon as they see me, they fall in love.
Yeah.
So everyone, like from the very beginning of this conversation, everyone is different and everyone reacts to things differently. So I'm great friends with that person who is direct because I need someone to be direct with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps me and propels me to be even better. You know, so yeah. And then also I'm in a relationship with someone who is conscientious, extremely detail oriented. I'm not extremely detail oriented, so we help each other. That I have qualities that he needs. He has qualities that I need, so we're able to help each other. So my strengths is his weakness, his strengths are my weaknesses, so we're able to help each other with that.
I like what you said about, like, not everyone's going to connect with everyone else.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. you have to know who you connect with.
Yeah.
And know that you are here for those people and not for other people. I had a friend in college, and mm-hmm. she was studying theology. I remember mm-hmm. our freshman year, we were on the bus going somewhere, and another one of the female theology majors stood up on the bus and, you know, we're going to have prayer, we're going to do this, you know, like taking charge mm-hmm. of the situation. And she's yeah. like, I could never do that. And like feeling bad
yeah.
about that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you're fine. Because honestly, if I had an issue, I'm not going to her.
Yes.
I'm coming to you because
yeah. uh-huh.
the temperament, like it's mm-hmm. just different. I would not feel comfortable. Like yeah, so it's just really important to know your place and know that you are
needed,
yeah, yeah, by somebody.
Yeah, like if I was in a relationship with someone that was just like me, it would be a disaster. We would accomplish nothing. Yeah. It would be fun though. Yeah. We'd have lots of fun, but we won't get much accomplished.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I would be so excited about something that I've accomplished at work, and then my boyfriend would be like, okay, great, and then he would set it higher for me. Like,
mm-hmm.
that is phenomenal. You've accomplished, he's so detail-oriented. And he was like, okay, so you've accomplished this goal consistently for the past 5 months, which is amazing. Okay, cool. So the next goal, let's try to go up a notch. And then I would say, oh, well, I didn't even think about that. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so he would motivate me to just go up a notch. And I like that. So, yeah, you have to know what you need, what you really need in a friend, in a family member. Seek out who they are and then connect with the personality type that would help you be the best you so that you have the best of both worlds.
for the past couple episodes, I've kind of been ending with a challenge. So the challenge for this week would be to get to know yourself better, ask yourself that question that we talked about in the beginning, which is how can you support your friends and family better? So part of that is getting to know them. And then also, how would you like to be supported? And that part would be getting to know yourself better, so you can tell people exactly what you need from them, so nobody's disappointed or confused or feeling underappreciated or anything like that. So thanks, Allison, for talking with me today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. Our theme song was written by DeCarlo Bowie, and you can find this week's challenge listed in the show notes. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe and rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud. Sadly, December is over, which means I will be releasing the next episode in 2 weeks. But until then, I'm still sending peace and love your way. Later, fam.